So I just wanted to talk to you about how what shaped me and what guided me in the work that I do. I also come from a background with risk behaviors. I've come from a background of experience of dealing with a lot of things in my life that were negative but turning into positive. So I wanted to talk about the positive first because that kind of makes me feel good. And a lot of times we always talk about the negative and then how we get to the positive. But for me, what shaped me, what guided me is the values that were instilled in me, and not just values on a general knowledge, but also values of what my traditional teachings have taught me, the values that I've learned from my mother, my grandmother, and also from my tribe and my people. And seeing that and being that instilled in me has done a lot of guidance for me, especially listening to elders, which is the next one of teaching. I remember when I was young, I would hear our elderly pray Navajo and also talk in Navajo and really give a heartfelt talk to the participants who were at a family gathering or whatever gathering it was, and talk about what life was today and what we needed to do as a people to progress and to move on in our lives. And I'm so thankful that I listened. As a child, I was not one of the children that would run around and scream and cry and stuff. And I think because my dad was really stern and made me sit and listen too. So I'm really thankful for that. And the teachings that they have talked about when I was younger, and it really is the focus of how I carry myself today and what I want to do with my life and which direction that I want to go with. Language is a big value also in my life. With assimilation and acculturation, I had steered away from my native culture, from my native language. Didn't want to be a part of traditional values and concepts because of being teased. I remember in mid-school where kids were being teased because they talked Navajo, and I didn't want to be a part of that. I didn't want to be put down. So a lot of that was a lot of mental stuff, a lot of things that were instilled in me of things that I didn't want to do. So after high school, I actually regretted not knowing where I was going and what I was doing with my life and not knowing my language. My grandmother doesn't speak English, doesn't understand English, so I really wanted to communicate with her. So I had worked in a nursing home for 10 years after high school, and the population was predominantly Navajo men and women who knew their culture, who knew their traditions. So that's where I learned my language, I learned my culture, and I learned how to communicate with my grandmother. To this day, I can talk to my grandmother. She's very hard of hearing, but she can still understand what I'm talking to her about and stuff. So a lot of that was instilled, and I'm really thankful for that. So there's a lot of teachings and stuff that were going on while I was developing. And even before that, I had a problem with substance use. I started drinking at age 12. So a lot of the risk behaviors had started at a very young age when I was 12 and 14, having unprotected sex, selling myself for money, and that's how I made my lunch money during school. So a lot of times people are not proud of that, but it's a learning experience for me, and I use that as a teaching tool for myself, and not just me, but for other populations that I work with, especially the Native transgender community, which I do a lot of work with. And in that, also the culture, my culture, my traditional ways and values of what I'm learning now. I had gone away from it, but I'm coming back to it full circle. I attend ceremonies when I go home, and I'm learning about our traditional ways and our values. I'm learning the songs of what they sing in the ceremonies. I'm understanding what ceremonies for what healing ceremony and which deity comes down to help a certain person. So a lot of that culture is being instilled in me, and I'm really happy that I'm willing to learn, because a lot of the younger generation are starting not to learn that, and I'm part of that intersection where I'm like, okay, we need to learn our culture, we need to learn our tradition, and trying to learn that and also teach the younger generation. And for me, it's not just about teaching the younger trans community, Native trans community, but also teaching our younger generation of just being Navajo, my nieces, my nephews, and them being a part of learning that culture and those traditions. So me as a Native transgender person, really embodying all these things that I talked about as growing up really has shaped and guided me in the right way. And family is really important to me. And I've learned with family how we look out for each other. I didn't feel that way at the beginning, but now my family is very close with me. They take care of me. They look out for me. They ask for guidance. They actually ask for guidance of what they should do, where they should go. If they need advice, they're always calling Maddie. And now I see myself giving back and giving guidance to the younger generation. And me being a Native Navajo trans woman doesn't have anything to do with it. They look at me as a person who will give them feedback in an honest, truthful way and what I've learned. So that's part of the cultural teachings too, is that we give back to our community regardless. And also going back to how I introduced myself, I always introduce myself in Navajo to a new group of people because I want to identify with other Navajos in the room who I might be related to. So I think I was related to you guys. So the relations is established and stuff. And saying that I'm Diné, and translated means of the people. So I am still of the people. And being five-fingered one, Bilashtai, meaning that I'm five-fingered one. So having that equality within our culture and within our people is there. And then identifying Western terms and contemporary terms as a transgender woman. So a lot of that, I had to mold myself and I had to shape myself in who I really was as a person. So doing a lot of that work has really influenced the good qualities and the good things that I do now, and I'm really happy that I'm on a level where I can speak on behalf of Native transgender women who aren't able to step up and speak at the table. So some of the interventions that we do at First Nations where I work at is called Native System. We do a 5-session workshop with Native transgender women. I did one recently, right before I came to this conference. I did one on Thursday and Friday, so I was really like brain dead on Saturday because there was a lot of mental stuff that we had to talk about. So what Native Sista is an adaptation of the Sista model, which CDC put out as an evidence-based curriculum. So we adapted it for the population, and it looks at ethnic and gender pride. It does HIV, STD education. It looks at assertiveness skills and really works within our community to empower the population. So with the Native transgender women that I work with, the group that I was recruiting, which was interesting because I was kind of, it's hard to recruit for interventions. So when I went to my doctor's appointment to do my hormone therapy appointment, I saw two trans girls, and then I talked to them, and they knew of two other trans girls who might be interested. So they got me in contact with two more trans girls. So I kind of did like recruiting within a 2-day process and actually had people wanting to do this intervention. Plus the incentive was really good, so which was really good. So we did the whole recruiting process. We did the workshops, and it was very intense. I work with girls who are on the streets, who are sex workers, who are surviving on the streets. The majority of them are homeless, unemployed. They were all Navajo trans women who came to this workshop, and we dealt with a lot of things within the ethnic gender pride. We talked about also lateral oppression. Because a lot of times we don't talk about the lateral oppression within our own people, within our own population, so we kind of address those issues. And it was interesting that during the course of the intervention that I had two individuals who really go at it with each other, so we had to use that as a teaching tool of looking at the lateral oppression of it and where that comes from. So it was very interesting. And I've noticed with this group, the groups that I work with, that we have to be real. A lot of times you come from this facilitator aspect and you're coming from an organization where you have to be professional, but sometimes you got to be real. And in order to be real, I'm from the streets too. I've been with this population. I've done what the population has done. So really talking about what they're going through and how we can address that issue and also make it into a positive. So we talk about how to be more assertive. We talk about how to be more proactive within changing those risky behaviors for better behaviors. So addressing a lot of those issues. What else was I going to talk about? Lateral. With the intervention, one of the things that we did is write letters like 6 months down the road, 4 months down the road to themselves. So they basically wrote a letter to themselves, see where they're at and what they're doing. So we do follow-ups with these workshops. And what I've established with the community is a good rapport with individuals within the community. So I go out to the community, start to know the community. I find out where people are. And a lot of times, I don't have to go looking for them. A lot of times, people come to my office, or they call me, or get a hold of me on Facebook. And I kind of have a general idea of who's doing what, who's been where, who's not doing so good, who's doing very good. So a lot of them keep in contact with me, and I'm really fortunate that has happened, because that's part of our culture also, too. It's like a family unit, that these are like my daughters, these are like my nieces, and throw me off. Wow, that was fast. So, okay, so I'm gonna speed it up. So some of the risks that we look at is violence within the community, and also the ultimate risk factor is death. A lot of times, talking with our population, this is what they don't want to do. Unfortunately, we have lost some native trans individuals to violence. We have lost them to substance use and overdose and stuff. So see, there's some of the risks that we have, especially HIV and AIDS. With the work that we do, we try to work with them and make it. We try to do prevention and also harm reduction with our own communities and teach that to make better choices with their lives. Cofactors: substance use, abuse, unemployment, discrimination, acceptance, violence, sex work, low-income poverty, self-esteem. So there's all these cofactors that compile and really bring down the self-esteem. So trying to build that up is sometimes hard to do within our native trans community, because you have assimilation, you have acculturation also infused in that, going through generational historical trauma. With native transgenders, we really don't talk about that sometimes. We may go mainstream of GLBT issues, but if we go deeper, before colonization, especially, that with Native American GLBT being revered, being respected, and being looked up to was a big factor in the things that we did in everyday life. So really playing with all those things. And I wanted to talk about emotional, spiritual, mental, and physical of those categories of what it's done for me also. And I put it in that order because those are the steps I worked on, working on my emotional state all the way to my physical state. So that's who I'm taking care of as a person. So the past and present, I just mentioned traditional to acculturation. Future needs within the Native transgender community are trainings with service providers, and not just on across the board, but deep within the tribal entities, our tribal settings, going back to the reservations and doing trainings of our service providers. There have been some that have been done, but we need to do more. Data collection in tribal settings is really big. We want to do more research with the Native American transgenders on tribal land. But where do we start? How do we start this? How do we talk to our council members and getting this effective data and finding out the disparities within our population? And also having to battle with assimilation and acculturation on that level. So there's a lot of things that we have to look at. Funded programs for Native American transgender individuals are the future needs. So we can do more workshops. We can do more interventions. And also a seat at the policy table for Native American transgender. Having a seat at the table, making these decisions, and having, especially with people of color. A lot of times when we say people of color, from our perspective as Native Americans, or me as a perspective, we see African American, we see Latino, Latina, Hispanic, and also Asian communities. And usually Native Americans are not mentioned with people of color. So really looking at that aspect too. And then also recently we started a National Native Transgender Network, and we're building that now. We're actually having our first webinar on November 21st. If people are interested, can get information from me. And we're going to be highlighting two programs, and we're going to be talking about what our next steps are going to be and the goals of our National Native Transgender Network. So, you can find me, and this is my email, so if you have questions or if you want to hunt me down after the presentation, do that. And I have, like, major stories, and I'm condensing this in, like, 15 minutes. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.